Today's daf is Soita Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new Masechta, Maseches Soita. So, a little bit of an introduction. If you ask the man on the street, what's a Soita? He's going to tell you it's a married woman whose husband was suspicious that she was having a relationship with another man. He warned her and said, Al tistiri amish pleini. Do not put yourself in a compromised position with that man because I'm going to be concerned that maybe something happened. She didn't listen. There's a whole series of psukim in the Torah that deals with how we're supposed to now go about and treat this woman. Now, the truth is that that answer is a good answer. But the more accurate answer to what a soita is that there are really two types of soitas. There's a Vadai Soita, and there's a Safik Soita. A Vadai Soita is a married woman that was Mizana Beratzen. An Eshes Ish that's Mizana Beratzen is a Soita. What's the halach of a Soita? Number one, she's Aser to now live with her husband. She's Aser to ever live with the man that she was Mizana with. She'll never be allowed to eat Truma. And by the way, she's Chayiv Karas for what she did. And if there was Hasra, she's going to be Chayiv Mises Bezdin as well. A Safik Soita is a woman where we don't know for sure that she was Mizana, but we only have a Safik that she was Mizana. Now, a very important point in terms of understanding the Masechta and certainly understanding the lumdus of the Masechta, you would think that a Safik Soita is any situation where there's a Safik regarding a woman. She may be a Soita, she may not be a Soita. So just like you have Safik Chelev, and you have Sfeikis that permeate all areas of Halacha, you would think a Safik Soita is where there's a Safik, there's a Tzad, maybe she's a Soita. Two Edom said she was Mizana, but there's also a Safik and a Tzad, maybe she's not a Soita. Two Edom said that she was not a Mizana. Where there's a Safik in the traditional and conventional sense, whether a woman's a Soita or not, she does not have the status of a Safik Soita. In fact, she's considered 100% mutter to be with her husband. And the reason is, this is Chazakah 101, because a woman is presumed to have a Chazakah that she's an Ishak Sheira, meaning she was a Mizana, that she's mutter to her husband. And as a result, if there would merely be a Safik regarding a woman, whether she's a Soita or not, the halach is she'd be 100% unequivocally mutter. What then is the Safik Soita of the Torah? The Safik Soita of the Torah is a very unique situation, as we mentioned moments ago. And that is, there was a married woman, her husband was suspicious that maybe there's a relationship that she's having with another man. He warned her, what we know as kinoi, the hasra, the warning was, do not find yourself in a situation with this man where I'm going to have good reason to assume that maybe my suspicions are correct. She did not listen to her husband. She did what's known as stira. She ended up in a closed room. Stira is a state of yichud together with this man. In that case, the Torah says we have to be concerned that maybe she was Mizana. It's then that she's considered a Safik Soita. Now, the truth is, it's a chiddush because we just said that every time there's a Safik Soita, even though based on the laws and the rules and regulations of Sveikis, we should be concerned, but she has a chazaka that says she's mutter. In this case, really, she also has a chazaka that says she's mutter. Just because there was kinui and stira, just because she was warned and she didn't listen to the warning, that's suddenly a reason for us to look away from the chazaka. It's a chiddush. It's the first chiddush that you find in the parish of Soita, but it's a fact. And that is that a regular traditional Safik Soita is not considered a Safik at all based on the laws of Chazakis. In the event that there was a kinui and a stira, there the Torah says that we have to be concerned, and as a result, we now treat her as a Safik Soita. So what's the halach of a Safik Soita? So these are all psukim that are mentioned in Parshas Nasai. The Torah says the husband is supposed to take his wife, bring her up to the Beis HaMikdash, present her in front of the Kohen. When she comes before the Kohen is going to make her swear that she is innocent. Additionally, she's going to bring a carbon. The carbon was a carbon mincha, known as the minchas kanois. Additionally, the kohen would take mayim, known as the mayim hama'orim, mix it with afar from the Beis HaMikdash, take the mayim, erase a parsha in the Torah that has in it shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to be a mechikas Hashem. She's going to then drink the water, and the water is going to tell us whether she was mezana or whether she wasn't mezana. If she was mezana, v'tzofsof spitna, she dies miraculously on the spot. If she was innocent, not only does she not die, she gets to go home, live happily ever after, and she gets tremendous bracha, because achoshe b'ksheirim gets tremendous brachas, so that really there was so much at stake. On the one hand, there's literally misa at stake. On the other hand, there's chayim, aruchim, chayim shal shalom, chayim shal toivah, chayim shal bracha, and that's really the way the whole situation presented itself. Now, one of the chidushim of the parsha of Saita is that in the event that you have a woman that's an established suffix Saita, meaning there was kinoy and there was stira, and then an Eid Echad comes and says that I know that this woman was mezana, the halach is we believe the Eid Echad. Why is that a chiddush? Because ordinarily, when it comes to davar sheba erva, the rule is ein davar sheba erva pachas mishnayim. Just like dinei mamonis requires two edim, dinei nefashis requires two edim, because a reshava davar mimamon, we learn that davar sheba erva also requires two edim. Stating that, the Gemara is going to say that being that there's a raglayim ledavar, there's already reason for us to assume that maybe something happened by virtue of the kinui and the stira. You take the kinui and the stira, and you throw on top of that an eid echad, so then the eid echad is going to tip the scale, and we are going to assume for sure, midda iraisa, that this woman was really mezana. So again, let's reframe the question. We're learning Masechta Saita. The topic of the Masechta is obviously the Saita. What's a Saita? It depends. Saita Vadai or Saita Safik? A Saita Vadai is an Eishas Ish that was mezana tachas baila. She's also Labal, she's also Labayil, she's also Lechel Betruma, she's Chayv Karis, and Mises Bezdin if there was Hasra. Suffolk Saita is a very, very specific case where there's a suffolk, maybe she was a Saita, but don't come up with our own creative scenarios of what the suffolk might have been. It has to be dafka, the suffolk that's prescribed by the Torah, meaning there was kinoi and there was stira. If there was kinoi and there was stira, then she is going to have the halacha of a suffolk Saita, and all the dinim of the Torah, the parashim, parashas nasai, is going to apply. Either way, with that brief introduction, we begin a new masechta. Zog the Mishnah, hamikana le'ishtai. So in order for a woman to become a suffix soita, two things would have to have been presumed. Number one, there was kinoi. Number two, there was stira. Kinoi means the husband warned his wife. What did he warn her? Altisteria mishplaini, don't find yourself in a compromised position with this man. Astira is, she actually found herself in that situation. So says the Mishnah, a man that was Mekana's wife. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mekana la alpishnayim. You need two edim to establish kinui as being a kinui. Meaning, if an eid echad would walk into Bezdin and say, I know that this man was Mekana his wife, it would not be considered a kinui. It requires two edim. Umashka al pi eid echad. However, as it relates to stira, for that you don't need two edim. One eid is enough. Ay al pi atzmai. Or even if the husband himself says that I know that my wife had stira, that in and of itself would be okay. Rabbi Shua argues, and he said, Mekano al pishnayim, the kinui has to be with two edim, umashka al pishnayim, and the stira has to be with two edim as well. So the first halacha masechta soita is a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua with regards to the dine edus of kinui and stira. According to Rabbi Eliezer, kinui requires two edim, stira al pi eid echad, even a bigger chiddush, oy al pi atzma. According to Rabbi Yeshua, both the kinui and the stira require two edim. Zok the Mishnah, keitzad mekamel tanelo. What is the definition of kinui, meaning he warned her? What did he tell her? So, if a man would tell his wife in front of two edim, because both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua agree that kinui has to be with two edim. So if he would say in front of two edim, I don't want you to talk to Ploini. She didn't listen, and she spoke to him anyways. So the halacha is, she's not considered a suffix saita, meaning, she's still going to be mutter to her husband, and she's going to be allowed to eat truma. If, however, the husband would warn his wife and he would say, not just don't talk to Pliny, but don't enter a Beis HaSeser. I don't want you to be in a state of yichud. I don't want you to be in a closed room with this man. And she didn't listen. And she went into the Beis HaSeser and she didn't just go, but she remained there for a certain amount of time. How long? Today, Toma? Long enough that there could have been a bia. Then the halach is asur lebeisa. She's asur to go back and live with her husband. Vasru alacha b'truma, she's not allowed to eat truma. Another alacha that the Gemara is going to discuss in a few dafin. V'imeis, and in the event that her husband dies, she falls the yibum now. So ordinarily, the yibum would have two choices to do either yibum or chalitza. In this case, when a soita falls the yibum, chaylatzes v'loy b'siyabemes, the brother is only going to have the option to do chalitza. He will not be able to do yibum. So what did the second part of the Mishnah say? Mishnah defined a little bit better what kinoy is. So kinoy means, yeah, a man warned his wife, but what did he warn her? Don't talk to Pliny? That's not enough for it to be considered a kinoy. In order for it to be considered a kinoy, it has to be that I don't want you to be in a state of stira, and she didn't listen, she went, and she was in a state of stira. But the Mishnah said something else very important, and that is that once a woman is a suffix saita, because at this point, it's only a suffix, it was kinoy and stira, the halach is she's also to her husband, and she's also to Yitzhumah. And this is based on the fact that a suffix saita is treated like a vadai saita, so that all the halachas that pertain to the vadai saita pertain to the suffix saita as well. So the vadai saita we said is asa labayla, asa labayl, it's not allowed to eat truma. All these halachas will be true for the suffix saita as well. The suffix saita will be asa to her husband, asa to the bayl, if it ever gets to that point, and asa lachal b'truma, she won't be able to eat truma either. Zok de gemar. Mech. Tana mit Nazir Salik. The last Masechta that we learned was Masechta's Nazir. Ma'itana dika Tana Saita. There must be some paper trail, some Hemshech, some Cheshbin, right? What's the connection, the correlation between Masechta's Nazir and Masechta's Saita? So the Gemara says, the Rebbe, the connection is something that Rebbe said. The Tanya we learned to the Bryce, Rebbe, Yemi, Rebbe said, Loma Nismecha, Parshas Nazir, Le Parsha Saita. Why did the Torah on the Eraisa level, put the parasha of Nazir and the parasha of Saita next to each other? So the parasha of Saita is in Parashas Nasai. The parasha of Nazir is also in Parashas Nasai. And they're right next to each other. They're juxtaposed. So Rebbe already was bothered. And he said, why did the Torah put the parasha of Nazir next to the parasha of Saita? Two parashas that at first glance would seem to have nothing to do with each other. So Rebbe said, the lesson is, the Torah is coming to say that if somebody sees Saita b'kukula, if somebody sees a Saita in a denigrated sense, what does kukula mean? So Rashi says, and this is something that's going to come up in the course of the Masechta, that when the suffix Saita, this woman would come to the Beis HaMikdash, so they would dafka make her feel disgusting and look disgusting. They would do things to degrade her. This was all part of the process of them trying to get her to admit that she was guilty in the event that she was guilty. But the bottom line is that the Saita, very often, if you would see her in the Beis HaMikdash, you would see her b'kukula. And Chazal is saying that kolaroya Saita b'kukula, if someone sees a Saita in that state, yazir atzvim min ayayin, you should become a Nazir. What does one have to do with the other? Because if you see a Saita b'kukula, chances are that the reason she did the Avera that she did was because she had too much to drink, it was under the influence. So what's the mussar? What's the takeaway? The takeaway is, yazir atzmi min ayayin. Great, the Gemara, if that's the case, for listening Saita, for hadir listening Nazir. So wouldn't it make sense to first have the parasha of Saita, and then afterwards have the parasha of Nazir? Why? If the reason that there's a smichas between the Saita and the Nazir is kolar roya Saita b'kulkula yazir atzmi min ayayin. So first you see the Saita, and then afterwards you mekabel Nazirus. And by the way, if you open up the Achumish and you look at Parashas Nasai, first you have the parasha of the Saita, first you have the parasha of the Saita, and then you have the parasha of the Nazir. So why in the Mishnah is it fakir? So the Gemara says that really we just wanted the Nazir and the Saita to be next to each other. But there's another cheshbon going on as well. What is that? So you have to go back a few dafyami mesachtes. I did the Tani Ksubis, because not so long ago we learned mesachtes Ksubis. And in mesachtes Ksubis there was a parak called Parakamadr. Seventh parak of mesachtes Ksubis is Parakamadr. It's Vetana Hamadr. So because we learned Parakamadr, Tana Dadar. So the next mesachta after mesachtes Ksubis, we said it would be very appropriate. We'll go from Ksubis to Nedarim. Why? What's the shaykhis between Ksubis and Nedarim? Not a lot. But there's one parak in Ksubis called Parak HaMadr. So we'll go to Nedarim. I did the Tana Nedarim, Tani Nazir. Once we learn Masechtas Nedarim, it made a lot of sense to learn Masechtas Nazir. Why did Dami Lin Nedarim? Because Nazir has a lot of shaykhis to Nedarim. Isha Yisha Ki Yafli Linder Neder Nazir Lahazul Hashem. We know the Gemara Nedarim. We spoke this out so many times in Masechtas Nazir. Makes a hekish between a Neder and in Aziris. And so many of the very, very important halachas in Adarim and Aziris are learned out from each other. The halach of Yadois, Bal Yachel, Bal Ta'acher, Hafara. So for sure, Nedarim and Nazir are very, very much alike. So we were learning Ksuvos. That made sense, right? If you want to really take it back a little bit, we started Seder Noshim with Masechtes Yevamos. Okay, we started with Yevamos. From Yevamos to Ksuvos. Then we took the detour. Perek HaMadir. Perek HaMadir, let's learn Nedarim. Nedarim, let's learn Nazir. We want Nazir and Saita to be next to each other, and that's why Viktani Saita, Kederebi, and that's why immediately afterwards we learned Saita. So you're right, maybe it could have been Saita first and Nazir second, but at the same time, there is a cheshbin, a bigger picture, a broader calculation that's going on over here, and based on that, it made sense to put Nazir after Nedarim, in which case it would then make sense for Saita to be after Nazir, Hagam in the Torah, it's in the reverse order, it's Saita first, and it's Nazir second. Before we go weiter, so the Gemara asks, that why is it that in the Torah, you have the smichos between the parasha of Saita and the parasha of the Nazir, where the Torah first mentions the parasha of Saita, and then afterwards the parasha of the Nazir. Whereas in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, the way Rebbe was Masadar it was Nazir first and Saita second. And the Gemara said that really the Mishnah should have followed the way it is in the Torah, but there's a cheshbon. We will learn Ksubis, Hamadir, Nedarim. Once you learn Nedarim, it makes sense to learn Nazir, and then we'll do Saita afterwards. Rav Tzadik in Pri Tzadik, and this is in Parshas Nasai. So he says a mahalach a little bit more based on Pnimiyas HaTorah. It's the covet of Alachsanya. That is, he says that there's an idea that the Gemara says in Masechtes Chagiga, Tafei Medbeis. The Gemara there was talking about Rabbi Shur ben Tananya, who throughout Shas used to debate the Kaifrim and the Noitzrim in front of the Kesar, and the stakes were high during these debates. And the Gemara in different places gives us insight into what took place. One of those Gemaras is Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Beis, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Shur ben Hananya is debating this Tzeduki, and they're talking in riddle. So the Tzeduki is Miramah something to Rabbi Shur ben Hananya. Rabbi Shur ben Hananya knew exactly what he was saying. And then Rabbi Shur ben Hananya was Miramah something back, and the Tzeduki had no idea what Rabbi Shur ben Hananya was saying. So the Kesar was there, and he said the following, Gavra de lo yoda, mai machfu le b'machoik, yachvi kami malka. Someone who doesn't know how to pick up on Ramazan, a person like that, yachvi kami malka, he should be standing in front of a king. How could someone that doesn't fully know how to pick up nuance have a gerech to be able to stand in front of a king? Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon, everyone knows where it appears in Shulchan Aruch. It's called the Bir Agra. In the Hakdama to the Bir Agra, which was written by one of the Vilna Gaon's grandsons, he writes that the reason the Vilna Gaon used to write so bekitzer, the Bir Agra, it's I in this, I in that, it's bekitzer neira. He used to say over this Gemara, because the Gaon said, Gavra de layada my machfi le b'mach, yachfi kamimalka, and the Gaon felt that it was kamimalka, and kamimalka you have to speak beramiza. But either way, says Rav Tzadik, that the limud from this Gemara is that the Melech speaks Beramiza. And that's why when you're in the presence of the king, you don't talk barichos, you don't give long, wordy sermons. But everything in front of the king, Kamei Malka, it's all Beramiza. And he says, the emes is the Eivishta communicates with us, Beramiza. What of the Ramazim? So says Rav Tzadik, I'll tell it to you with a Maisa Shahaya, a Maisa that happened with the Rebbe Reb Zisha. So he says that the Rebbe Reb Zisha was once traveling, and there was an Arul that was traveling alongside him. And this Arul had an eagle, he had an animal, and there was a lot of fodder on this animal. And then the fodder fell off the eagle. So this Arul turns to the Rebbe Reb Zisha, and he says, Rabbi, would you be able to maybe help me? I have to take all this schayr, I have to put it back on this animal. Maybe you can help me out. And he told him, I would love to. Aba eini yachol. He says, Kenisht. So the Arul turned to Reb Zisha, and he said, Dekensnisht, Dekens ya. The Vilsnisht. When the Rebbe Reb Zisha heard this, it made such a roshim on him. He said that how many times in life do we fall? And we really know that we should pick ourselves up. But we feel too schwach and we feel too weak. And we tell ourselves, we convince ourselves, ich kenisht. He said, but I think this aura was giving me starke musa. The kenst ya, aber the Vilsnisht. So the Rebbe Tzadik said that this aura was put into Reb Zisha's life for a moment to teach him a lesson. Because that was the remisa. There's a certain remes that was being taught to Rav Zisha, and Rav Zisha needed to hear this. And it was the oral that was sent. He says, really, that's our whole life. Constantly we're meeting people, we're hearing things, we're seeing things, and the things that we're hearing and seeing are meant for us because there is some lesson that we're supposed to take from this. It's a lesson on the madrig of Gavrat Liyadah, my machvalei b'machoy, yachvi kami malka, because the way the melech communicates, he communicates for a mizah. So said Rab Tzadik, if a person sees Saita Bikulkula, there's a reason he saw it. It's not a mikra. He didn't punk see Saita Bikulkula. If a person sees Saita Bikulkula, so what does he need to do? He needs to take a lesson. It's like the Rebbe Rav Zisha's encounter with this oral. Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin. It's meant for you. It means you have a problem, a drinking problem. And as a result, Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin, you have to go about fixing it. And you need to do something. But says Rab Tzadik, that even though we understand that we live in a life, we live in a world where the Eibush is sending us messages. This machik that's kami malka, but at the same time, there's even a higher madrega, and really something that we have to get better at, said Rav Tzadik, and that is not wait for the Ramazan, but really to be a chacham that's adaf minavi, and to be a royes hanoilet, and for us to understand that it could be I should take certain steps and make certain harchakis and gedarim. It's like this, I'll never find myself, I'll never put myself in a situation where I'm going to need to see a Saita B'Kukula, so that I'll have to be Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin. Says Rav Tzadik, the Chachamim, who were Royas Anoylid, Ezeu Chacham and Royas Anoylid, they felt that that's the right Mahalach. And the Madrega is that we have to go one up and not wait to see the Saita B'Kukula to be Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin. But Fakert, we're going to take the initiative, we're going to understand that there's a concept of a Saita. And even though maybe I'm not in a place yet where I need to see the Saita, but I don't want to get to that point. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to preempt it, and what am I going to do? I'm going to be Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin before I see the Saita B'Kukula. So said Rab Tzadik, on the Torah Shepik Sav level, on the level of Kami Malka, it's first the parasha of Saita, and then it's the parasha of Nazir. Al derech kolaroya Saita b'kulkula yazir atzma min ayayin. Abuchachem is adaf minavi, and the chachamim were roya sanoilit. And that's why the chachamim, when they wrote the Torah Shel Ba'al-Peh, they reversed the order. They put the Nazir first and the Saita second, to understand that you have to be a roya sanoilit, and don't wait to see the Saita b'kulkula to be yazir atzma min ayayin. But to the contrary, you should first be mekabel the Naziris before it ever comes to the parasha of the Nazir. He says, that's a little as to why it is in the Torah of Iksav, it's first the parish of Soita, then the parish of Nazar. Because Kami Malka, this is the way it works. Abu Chacham is Adif Minavi, and on the Chacham level, in Torah of Alpeh, we need to make Harchakis, and we need to set up Gedarim for ourselves, that before you ever see the Soita of a Kukuli, you're ready to be Yasa Atzma Min Ayayin, and that's Merum is that in the Torah of Alpeh. First you have the Masechtas Nazar, and then afterwards you have Masechtas Soita. Zokhtu Gemar Vaita Mekano, the Mishnah said, Hamekano Le'ishtoi. And Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Kinoi, two Edim, or Kinoi Eid Echad. But the Gemara makes a diik that the word Hamekana is a lashon of Dieved, right? If someone was Mekana, it's a machzach, it happens sometimes, right? Hamekana, Dieved, in Lechatchilo Loi. It sounds like the whole Kinoi is only a Dieved, not Lechatchilo. What's the Pshat? Kasavat Hana Tidon. It's because our Tana is of the opinion that Osir Lekana is, it's actually Osir for a man to go over to his wife and to incite her through kinoy. So this is going to be the topic of tomorrow's daf, and in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to bring it was a machloikis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, whether asul lekanois, mitzvah lekanois, mutal lekanois. So we'll see a lot more about that. But either way, the diuk is that a mekanah is b'di'evit, and the reason is because it really is a b'di'evit. It's asul lekanois. Amar Rav Shmuel b'Rabbi Yitzchak. The pasuk Rishlokish b'Saita, when Rishlokish would begin Masechta Saita, Amar Hachi. This is the way he started. He would say the following: Ein mezavgin lo adam isha ela lefi ma'isav. That when a man gets married, he has his bashert, and the woman that he marries is lefi ma'isav. It's the appropriate woman for him to marry. Meaning, if he's a tzaddik, then his wife is going to be a tzaddikis. And if he's a rasha, then his wife is going to be the nekeva version of what he is. What's the makar to this? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ki lo yonuach shevet ha-resha al goyrel ha-tzaddikim. The Eibishter doesn't take a rasha and be mezavik the rasha together with tzaddikim. Say, ein mezavgin lo yilodem ish elo lefi ma'isav. Zok de gemara, amir rabba bar brachana, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi brachana said the name Rabbi Yochanan quite famously, v'kosha lezavkin kikriyas yamsav, that this avoida of be mezavik a man and a woman, kefi maisav, is so difficult, it's mamish ki kriyas yamtsev. How do you know that? What's the shaychis between kriyas yamtsev and zivugim? Because the pasuk says, Elokim moishev yechidim beisa, moitzi asirim b'koisharis. We need help from Rashi. Rashi says, Elokim moishev yechidim beisa. Yechidim are people that are not married, right? They're single. So the Eibush says, moishev yechidim beisa. He brings them together. Moitzi asirim b'koisharis. And it's comparable to when Hashem took the Asirim, the people that were incarcerated, talking about Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim, because Kesharis, Rashi says, it was a time that was kosher. It wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, it was during the spring. But the bottom line is, there's some connection between these two ideas of Moishev Yechidim Beisa and Moitzi Asirim B'Kesharis. That's the Makar to Rabbi Yochanan's memory of Akashan Lazavkin Kikriyas Yamta. So what did the Gemara say? Rish Lakish said, Rabbi Yochanan said it, Ein mizavgin loy la'odam isha ela lefi maisav, the kasha lezavgin kikriyas yamta. Fred Gemara, Ein is the actual, Amar Rabbi Yudamar Rav, we just send the name of Rav, Barbam Yom Kedim Yitzir Yisavlad, 40 days before Yitzir Yisavlad, Baskol Yoytzes Vayimeres, there's a Baskol that emanates in Shemayim and says, Bas Ployni Laployni, Bayis Ployni Laployni, Sada Ployni Laployni. So the Baskol says, Bas Ployni is going to marry Ployni, and this Bayis is going to belong to this person, and this field, this geshef, this business is going to belong to this person. Now, if the Baskel comes out 40 days before Yetzirah Savlat, it can't be at Tzlafi Maisav. Why, Zok Rashi? Because 40 days before Yetzirah Savlat, a person has Bechira to decide whether he's going to be a Rosh or a Tzadik. So at that point, we have to assume that it's unknown yet what the Maisim of these people are going to be. Yet there's already a Baskel. So how does it stem with this idea that the Zivug of a person has already been determined? Zok the Gemara, like Kasha, Haba Zivug Rishon, Haba Zivug Sheni. It's talking about two different Zivugim. Zivug Rishon, that's the Baskel that says Bas Ployni Laployni. And that has nothing to do with Lefi Maisav. And that has nothing to do with Vekasha Lezavkin Kikriyas Yamsav. When we say that it's Lefi Maisav, and when we say it's Vekasha Lezavkin Kikriyas Yamsav, that's referring to Zivug Sheni. Now, what does Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni mean? Sapashana means, well, it sounds like it means first marriage and a second marriage. But it's Yidua, there are other Rishonim that say that Zivig Rishon, Zivig Sheni means before a person turns 20 and after a person turns 20. The Gemara Masechtas Kedushin says that a person is really supposed to try to get married before he turns 20. Shemon Esra L'chupa, but B'dieved when a person turns 20. And once a person's 20, there is an Inyan that could be he's already in the gather of Zivig Sheni, and it could be, as it relates to the Bas Ployni L'Ployni, he's more on the level already of the Kasha Lezavkin Kikriyas Yamtsev. But just one interesting ha'ara on this Gemara. I mean, there's so much to talk about on this Gemara. But just one interesting ha'ara. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas, Tavches Amar Aleph, B'marava, in Eretz Yisrael, Ki Nosef Inish Itza. When a man would get married, Amri Lehachi, they would say as follows. Meaning, they'd go over to the Chassan, and they would tell him, Matza or Moitza? Tell me, were you a Matza or were you a Moitza? It sounds like moitzi matzah. So what does that mean? Matzah or moitzah? Matzah, well, are you a matzah, the chziv? The pasuk says, matzah isha matzah taif. V'yafik ritzoy me'ashem. Or are you a moitzah? The chziv, moitzah ni mar mimavas eso isha. So on the one hand, you get married, it could be matzah isha matzah taif. On the other hand, it could be moitzah ni mar mimavas eso isha. So they used to ask, are you a matzah or are you a moitzah? Incidentally, I once saw in the Ben Ishchai says that, how do you answer the stira? Is it matzah isha matzah toiv, or is it moitzah ni mar mimavas eso isha? So he said that we know ish and isha are both made up of an aleph and a shin. Ish has a yud, and isha has a hey. And the Ben Ishchai, talking, not me, says that there's an inyan here. The inyan is because yud is begematria 10, and hey is begematria 5, and 10 is more than 5, and as a daftza zayin. And he says the truth is that if a person is matzah isha, it's taka matzah taif. He says, but what happens, however, if a person gets married and his wife thinks that she's equal to him? She's not isha, but she's ha isha. If she's ha isha, then it's going to be isha with the extra hey, so it's 5 and 5, it equals 10. So says the Ben Ishchai, then already it's going to be umoitzani mar mimaves as ha isha. So he says, matzah isha, if it's isha, it's matzah taif. But if it's ha isha, it's moitzani mar mimaves as ha isha. As I stated in the Ben Ishchai somewhere in the Ben Yayada. But I'll tell you a ha'ara that I saw in the Sefer Sifsei Chachamim, which is an old Sefer, was written in the 1800s, and he quotes his shvaga, Rab Hillel Kalamaya, who said of art, he said, why is it b'marava amri? Why in Eretz Yisrael? It sounds like this was something in Eretz Yisrael they used to say. Why not in Chutz Laaretz? If somebody got married outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't ask him this question of matzah isha, matzah toy, matzah imoitzah. But over there, for some reason, they took for granted. So why was it dafka over here? So he said, because we know that the Gemara in the Sechta Soita that Beis Amad Aleph asks a kasha. On the one hand, you find that im mezavgan leila adam isha ela lefi maisa. The kasha lezavgan kikriyas yamsav. Mitzat sheni, you find arbam yoyim koydim tziras avlat. So which one is it? Is it kafim maisav? Or is it arbam yoyim koydim tziras avlat? If it's arbam yoyim koydim tziras avlat, it can't be kafim maisav because the person has bechira. What was the Gemara's teretz like kasha? One is specific rishon, one is specific sheni. Of zokra pil mikalamai, I found the medrash that says a different teretz. The medrash says one's talking about an Eretz Yisrael, and the other one's talking about a Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, it's Arbam Yom Kodim Yetziras Avlad. In Chutz La'aretz, it's the quote-unquote Bashert. However, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Arbam Yom Kodim Yetziras Avlad. But in Chutz La'aretz, over there, it's Ein Mezavgan Lo'il Adam Isha Elo Lefi Ma'isov. So said Rabbi Hilmi Kalamaya, that's Pshat in the Gemara. In Chutz La'aretz, they didn't have to ask the person, are you a Matzah or a Maitzah? Just look at the man you're talking to. Look at the chassan. If the chassan is a toiv, then it's matzah isha, matzah toiv. And if the chassan is marmi mavis, then it's moitzani marmi mavis, eso isha. There's no suspense. We know exactly what it is, because it's kafi maisav anyways. It's dafkin Eretz Yisrael, where it's abom yoyim koydim etziras avlad. And at that point, we don't know yet if the person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. So over there, it's a question. I don't know. It's open for debate. How do I know? Is it a matzah isha, matzah type, or is it a moitzani marmi mavis eso isha? And it was that for that reason over there, he asked this question. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim from Hagoyin Rav David Yoel Weiss, so he brings this vart, he brings it in the Sefer Masechtas Brachos Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and he says that he tried finding this medrash, and he couldn't find this medrash. Doesn't know where this medrash is. And he said he found one other achron somewhere that quotes Azam medrash, but he says, Ko'es eni yoidea mekaymai. Rav David Yoel Weiss is a Sinai who has a tremendous, tremendous bekis, and he said he couldn't find anywhere this medrash. But he says there is an Evan Ezra that Kemat says this. The Evan Ezra is in Parshas Chayesaro, where Avram Avinu is Mashpi Eliezer, and he tells him, I want you to find a caliph for my son Yitzchak. Vashbiyach Hashem alikei Hashemayim velikei Yoretz asher lo yisikach isha livni mibnoi sachnani asher ani yoshev bekirboi. Zok to Evan Ezra, quote, one line. V'tam alikei Hashemayim velikei Yoretz. So Avram is being mashpi Eliezer, and he gets involved in alikei Hashemayim velikei Yoretz. Like, why we... Bamokim hazeh. Bamokim hazeh. Ki bas ployni la ployni ba'oretz min Hashemayim v'husayit. It says Devin Ezra. What I'm saying is a side, which means we're not supposed to understand this. But b'mokim hazeh, meaning they were in Eretz Yisrael, ki bas ployni leployni ba'aretz, because in Eretz Yisrael there's an Indian of bas ployni leployni, for whose side? This Devin Ezra seems to be saying what this medrash that Rabbi Hillel Mikalamaya was quoting says, and that is that bas ployni leployni is dafke in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's im mezavgan loy la'adam isha ela lefi maisav. Our Gemara says that what it depends on is whether we're dealing with a zivig rishon or whether we're dealing with a zivig sheni. From over here, from this medrash, this Devin Ezra al kapanim, could be there's a little bit of a different mahalach. Either way, the Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to get involved more in the Soita Sugya. So Masechta Soita has a lot of digression. Masechta Nazir had very little digression until the end when we digress with Tumah V'Taira Sugyas. But not a lot of digression in Masechta Nazir. Masechta Soita has a tremendous amount of digression. A lot of Agadata coming up. Incidentally, a lot of Pesach Agadata is coming up during the Pesach de Gedaf, and it's real Dover Be'itai Matayv. But either way, a lot of Shas Katan, of Leicht Sugyas coming up in the Masechta. Right, Ksubas the Shas Katan, but it's like the hard part of Shas. Soita is a lot of Shas Katan, but some of the easy Chalakim and Shas. Stating that, there are some Soita Sugyas. It isn't Seder Nashim, it's not a Seder Mayit. And as a result, from time to time, we're going to have to get into it a little bit. This next part of the daf is one of those times. So again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah regarding Kinui and Stira. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kinui requires two Eidim, Stira, Alpi Eid Echad, or even Alpi Atzme. Rabbi Shua is Chaylik. Rabbi Shua says that Kinui requires two Eidim, and Stira also requires two Eidim. So the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua is regarding Stira. Stira required two Eidim, Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, or Alpi Eid Echad, Afilo Alpi Atzmai, that's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. We mentioned in the introduction that once there's Kinui and Stira, at that point, if an Eid Echad would come, and the Eid Echad would say, I know for a fact that this woman was Mezana, the halachas, we would treat her like a Soita Vada. That's a very, very big chiddush. Because ordinarily, when it comes to a davar she'be'erva, ein davar she'be'erva pachas mishnayim. But over here, when this kinui and this stira already, there even a echad is going to be believed. Now, there's a svara behind it. The svara is that once this kinui and this stira, there's already a raglayim ledavar that maybe an avera took place. However, you can't just say such a chiddush based on svara. There has to be a makar to it. There has to be a pasik to it. That's going to be the topic of this next gemara. Zok the gemara. Ad kan loy pligi. In the Mishnah, we have a machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding kinui and stira. Specifically stira. 1 aid or 2 aidim. So the machloikis in the Mishnah was regarding kinui and stira. Ava b'tumah as it relates to tumah. Eid echad mehem. And everybody agrees that as it relates to tumah, eid echad is believed. And again, what does it mean? Everyone agrees that eid echad b'tumah is believed. It means after kinui v'stira. Of course, if there's no kinui v'stira, you need 2 aidim. But everyone agrees if there was kinui and stira already, now an eid echad that says that there was tumah, the eid echad is going to be believed. It's not nami, and the Gemara says that it's really a mefurish mishnah, meaning in our mishnah it's not mefurish. We're just being medayik from the mishnah that the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua was regarding kinui v'stira. It sounds like once it's kinui v'stira, everybody would agree an echad is believed regarding tumah. But it happens to be a mefurish mishnah somewhere else, and this somewhere else is the kamon daf lamed aleph amid al. What does the mishnah over there say? Echad man iro isi shenitmeis, and eid echad says that I saw that this woman was mezana. So there was kinui and stira, and this woman's about to drink from the meisaita, and eid echad comes in and says, I know for a fact that she was mezana. So the halach is loy hoisa shoisa. She did not drink. Why? Because now she's a saita vaday, a saita sofik drinks. A saita vaday doesn't drink. Says the gemara, midnay raisa minolun de mehem eid echad. What is the makar that midnay raisa and eid echad will be believed after kinui and stira? And again, it's a very big chiddush that the eid echad is believed. Because ordinarily, it's a davar she'be'erva, the ain davar she'be'erva pachas mishnayim. So there must be a makar, and the gemara wants to know what that makar is. As the gemara, it's a braisa, the Tana Rabbanon. It says in the Torah, the eid ain ba. Now really, in order to properly appreciate the gemara we're about to learn, so it's kedai to just acquaint ourselves with 2 psukim in the parsha of the Saita. So the pasuk right in the beginning of the parsha of the Saita says as follows: Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimer, dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem, ish, kisiste ishtoi, uma aloi b'ma. So there's a man, an ish, kisiste, miloshen Saita, kisiste ishtoi, his wife strayed, uma aloi b'ma, and she rebelled against her husband. She was mezana. Says the pasuk, v'shachav ish oisa shechvazera. She was mezana. V'nela me'ene isha. Husband didn't know about it. V'nistera, there was stira. V'hinet ma, and she was mezana. V'eid ein ba, and there's no aid. We'll see what that means. V'hilo in the spas, and she wasn't forced into it. It happened baratza. That's the first pasuk. Again, v'shachav ish oisa shechvazera. Sounds like there was a maisabiyah. Vinelame in Isha, the husband doesn't really know what happened. Vinistera, there was a stira, vihinitma, and there was a bia. The Eidein Ba, we don't have an Eid, Vilainus Pasa, and it wasn't an Oinus. Next Pasik. For Avar Olav Ruach Kina, this husband had done kino, he warned his wife, Vikine Eseshtai, vihinitma, and she's Tame, Oi, Avar Olav Ruach Kina, or maybe the husband warned his wife, he did kino, Vikine Eseshtai. Really, she's not Tami. These are 2 psukim in succession, which I believe Pashup Shad, these 2 psukim are from the hardest psukim in the Torah to read. Just not so easy to understand what's going on. And the way Chazal will metargim the psukim for us is that really the psukim are almost written out of order. The second pasuk is discussing va'avar olav ruach kina v'kineis ishtai v'inetma oy avar olav ruach kina v'kineis ishtai v'inetma. A man did kinoi and he did stira. And now there's a suffix. We don't know if she was mezana or she wasn't mezana. And really, if you look at the pasuk after that, v'hevio ishas ishtai alakoy, and then you have the whole parasha of the Saita. The pasuk prior to that, which could have really been the pasuk afterwards, says, what happens if there was kinui and stira? Obe v'shochav ish oiso shechvazera. But we find out for a fact that there was a znos, meaning, there was v'nistera, there was a stira, obe v'hinetma, we know for sure. How do we know for sure? The aid ein ba, because there was no aid. What does that mean? So I'll give it away. There was an eid echad. The eid ein ba, the Gemara is going to say, means there weren't 2 aidim, but there was an eid echad. So then the halach is, we treat her as a saita vaday. So really, these 2 psukim, one pasuk is discussing a woman who's a saita, kinui stira, and then an eid echad said that she was mezana. The other pasuk is talking about where there was kinui and stira, and there was no eid echad that said she was mezana. A shtickle out of order. The first pasuk is saying, kinui stira, aber v'shachad v'sh'oysa shechvazer v'nel me'in isha v'nisra v'nitma. We know for sure she was nitma. The Eidein Ba, not through 2 Eidim, but rather through a neidacha, like the Gemara is going to say. The next pasuk is talking about if there was simply kinev estiro. So we don't know for sure that she was a soitis. So what's the halacha then? So then we have to go through with the whole process of the parasha of soitis again. We're trying to find the makar in the Torah to the halacha that if there was kinoi and then there was stira and neidacha says that she was mezana. So the halacha is that she is treated now not as a suffix soita anymore, but as a vadai soita. What's the makar? So says the Gemara. It says in the Torah of eid ein ba, that mysterious pasuk b'shnai makasim adam. It says in the Torah that there was no eid. It doesn't mean there wasn't one eid. What it means is there weren't two eidim. Now this is really a chiddush, right? Because eid is in the singular. So the eid ein ba would sound like you didn't have an eid echad. Says the Gemara in eid afilu be'echad. Maybe the eid ein ba means there wasn't even an eid echad. Talmud loymar says the brisa can't be. That's what it means. Why? Because it says in the Torah lo yakum eid echad ish. There's a pasuk somewhere else that says an eid echad is not a kosher eid. Now mimash b'shenem loyad kum eid. If the Torah already said, Layakum eid be'ish, why does the Torah have to say the word echad? It's redundant. If eid means one, because eid is in the singular, so why would the Torah have to say eid echad? It's coming to teach me that anytime it says the word eid in the Torah really means two eidim, unless the Torah says the word echad. From the fact that the Torah one time said eid echad, which seems to be redundant, we learn that the word eid really means two eidim, and if you want it to mean eid echad, you actually have to say eid echad. Okay, so when it says in the Torah of eid ein ba, what does that mean? It means that you didn't have two eidim. V'amar rachmana trei lesba elochad, that you didn't have two eidim. What did you had? You had an eid echad. V'hiloy nispasa asura, and it's clear in the pasuk that this woman is going to be prosecuted, quote unquote, for what she did. How do I know that? Because the next words are v'hiloy nispasa, that she wasn't an oinis, she wasn't forced into it. Zoysay Meris, we're trying to say that she is going to be asur, and if that's the case, this is the makar, that if there was kinoi and stira, and there's an eid echad, the halacha is that she's going to be deemed to be a saita. So again, ordinarily, in order to confirm a woman as a saita, to turn her into a saita vade, you would have to have two eidim. However, if there was kinei and stira, even an eid echad is going to do the trick. An eid echad is going to confirm her as a saita vade. You need a makar to this, even though there is a svara, because it's already raglaim ladavar, but you can't work with svaras. You need to have a makar to say something like this. There is a makar. The pasuk clearly says, I mean, not clearly, but the way Chazal darshened it, the shachat ish oisa shichva zera v'nela me'ene isha v'nistra v'yinitma, the eid ain't ba v'hiloy nespasa, the eid ain't ba means there weren't two eidim, there was an eid echad, v'hiloy nespasa, she wasn't forced into it, implying that she did this baratzen. Why do we want to know if she did a baratzen? Because she's going to be asa right now, and this is the makar that an eid echad is believed after kinoi v'stira. Now the truth is, this pasuk doesn't mention a word about kinoi, right? It doesn't say kinoi. It says v'shachav ish oisa shichva zera v'nela me'ene isha v'nistera. So we know there was stira. Doesn't say anything about kinoi. But the next pasuk says kinoi. V'avar al of ruach kinoi. And the way you read the continuation of the two psukim is that v'avar al of ruach kinoi is referring back to the previous pasuk as well. That previous pasuk that I just told you, that when there's stira and an eid echad, she's going to become aser. It means that there was stira, but before the stira, it was va'avar al of ruach kinoi, there was kinoi as well. Bottom line is, there was kinoi, and there was stira, and then there's an eid echad. So the halach is that she is going to be also. So again, what's the makar? How do you know kinoi, stira, eid echad? She becomes a soita vaday, because it says the eid ein ba, eid means two eidim, he didn't have two eidim, he had one. The hilo in the spasa is implying that she's aser. That's how you know if there's an eid echad, after kinoi and stira, she is going to be aser. Now the Gemara has the kasha in the cheshbin, that maybe when it says the eid ein ba, it means that you didn't even have an eid echad. So what did Gemara say? No, I know eid means two eidim. How do I know that? Because one place the Torah says the word eid echad. And if it says eid echad once, that's a bana of. That teaches me that every single time it says the word eid, it means two. So that's how I know the eid ein ba doesn't mean two. So Gemara asks a kasha. Now, it sounds like el time of the chsiv lo yakum eid echad be'ish. The only reason I know that when it said the eid ein ba, it doesn't mean you didn't have one eid, but rather what it means is you didn't have two eidim, but you really had one eid. It's because I know that the word eid means two eidim. How do I know that? Because of the fact that one place it says eid echad. Halav hachi. But if I wouldn't know for a fact, I wouldn't have a binyanav. I wouldn't know that the word eid means two eidim. Havamina, I would have thought eid asoita chadu. I would have thought that when it says in the third, eid ein ba, it means he didn't even have an eid echad. If it means he didn't even have an eid echad, if you don't even have one eid, el b'may mitzra, then why would she be aser? The Gemara's kasha is not on the limud. The limud is a wonderful limud. The Gemara's kasha is just agav. That in the limud, we had to first prove that the eid means two eidim. As if to say, if I didn't have proof that eid means two eidim, I would have thought eid means one eid. How would you read the pasuk? The pasuk says that if you have a situation, the eid ain't bought. You don't even have an eid echad. The hilay nespasa, she's going to be aser. How could you be aser if there's not even an eid echad? El b'may mitzera. So for sure, eid must mean two eidim. So again, the kash is not on the drasha. The kash is, why do I need to prove the drasha? Why do I need to prove that eid means two eidim to be able to establish the drasha? I know eid means two eidim. There's nothing else it could mean. Because if eid means eid echad, that means the Torah is saying that if you have zero eidim, she's going to be aser. V'yafilu chad lek, if you don't even have one eid, el b'may mitzera. How's she going to be aser? Gemara says, That's not true. If I didn't have proof that the word eid means two eidim, I could have thought the word eid means eid echad. What's the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that you don't even have an eid echad and still she's going to be also itzterich. Yes. I would have thought that eid ein ba, you know what it means in the Torah when it says eid ein ba? It means a neman ba. What it means is not eid ein ba that you didn't have to an eid echad, but rather what it means is that an eid Echad is not going to be believed, says the Gemara. One second. So you're telling me, ain't neman ba? The elamai ba yadei katrei. So you're telling me that you have two eidim. Meaning, if when the Torah says the eidim ba, it means that an eid echad is not believed. In other words, you tell me you have to have two eidim when it comes to saita. I need a pasuk to tell me you need two eidim when it comes to saita. Lishta kramine. Torah shouldn't have to say anything. Das yudavad avar mi mamin. I would know that ein davar sheva erva pachas mishnayim. The Makariz the Gzeir Shavas says davar by erva ki matzav erva's davar, and it says al pishnei edim yakum davar when it comes to mamin. And davar mi mamin. I would know it anyways. That no yadan mi de davi akol idi ish shne betorah. So again, what's the havamino to teach the eid ein ba that eid means eid echad and eid echad ein ba not is not there but is not believed. I need the Torah to tell me an echad is not believed. The chiddush is an echad is believed. I don't need the Torah to tell me that an echad is not believed. The Gemara says it's not true. It's true. I do need it because Olgatay the Chamina. I would have thought that Soita Shani, that even though ordinarily an echad is not believed, but maybe when it comes to Soita, an echad is believed. Why? There are glaim ledover. Because as we said earlier, that there is a svara to maybe say that an echad should be believed. Shari kina love an istira. Because it was ready kina vistira. If that's the case, l'shamim ba an echad. Maybe you should believe in an echad. Maybe that's why the Torah had to say the Eidim Ba means that Echad is not believed, but really you need two Eidim. So had it simply said the Eidim Ba, and I would have no objective proof that the word Eid means two Eidim, I would have thought the word Eid maybe means Eid Echad, and it means the Eidim Ba, the Echad is not believed, and really you need two Eidim. That's why in order to establish the Drasha, what we need to say is that the Eidim Ba means Eid as in two Eidim. If it means two Eidim, Eidim Ba can't mean two Eidim are not believed, because two Eidim are always believe. So what then must the Eidim Ba mean? You didn't have two Eidim. What did you have? An Eid Echad. And this is a raya that an Echad is believed once you have Kiri Vestira, once you have the Raglai Modav. The Gemara has one other Kashabat. The Gemara says, Mimas is Amrit Ein Neman Ba Vesharya. Could you tell me that maybe what the Pasuk meant when it said the Eidim Ba is that an Eid Echad is not believed? If the Pasuk is saying Eid Echad is not believed, it sounds like there was a woman that was Mizana based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and we're saying the Eid Ein Ba, that this Eid is not believed. If that's the case, then it sounds like the halacha of the woman in this pasuk would be is that she's mutter to her husband. But it's not mashma that way, because Amidich said the hilo in the spasa, being that it says that we know for sure that she wasn't forced into it. Mechal v'asura. It sounds like this woman is aser. So if she's aser, it sounds like the eidim that were testifying are believed. So what do we mean that the eid echad wasn't, it was an eid echad and he wasn't believed, then why is she aser? So the Gemara answers, it's terech, no, solkadai t'chamina. I would have touched the pasuk as follows. The Torah is saying two things. The eid Ein ba, number one, Eid Echad is not believed, you have to have two Eidim. Ubetrei nami. When there's two Eidim, he delay in the spasa. The only time she's going to be aser is if she wasn't forced into it. But if she was forced into it, not kamash malan, that's the chiddush, and that's why we needed to know that Eid always means two Eidim. If Eid always means two Eidim, what does the Eid Ein ba mean? You don't have two Eidim. What do you have? You have an Eid Echad. And even though Eid Echad is usually not believed when it comes to Davar Sheva Erva, but at the same time, when there's Raglayim LaDavar, when there was already a Kina Vestira, in that instance, the Eid Echad is going to be believed. So just to make a recap on this Gemara that we learned. This is one of the hardest Gemaras in the whole Masechta, by the way. I mean, this is every eight lines of Masechta's Nazir. But the Gemara said that, what's the makar to this halacha? That once this kin of Estira, Eid Echad, is believed, that if an Eid Echad says that this woman was Mazana, we're going to treat her as if she was Mazana. It's learned out from a pasuk in the Torah, right in the beginning of the Parsha. Saito, v'shachah, v'shoysa, shich, v'azera, v'nele, me'ina, isha, v'nista, revihina, t'ma, v'eid, ein, ba, v'hilo, in the spasa. The Eid, ein, ba, means there weren't two Eidim. There was an Eid Echad, and what the Torah is coming to say is that an Eid Echad would be believed when? If there was Stira, it was va'avral of Rachkina, there was Kina as well. Once this Kina and the Stira at that point, even an Eid Echad is going to be believed. So we'll just make a Schala on the next Gemara, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. So Rabbi Shua, Aymer Mekanala al Pishnayim v'chul. So in the Mishnah, we have a Machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua regarding the Din Eidus of Kina v'Stira. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kina al Pishnayim, Stira al pi Eid Echad, oy even al pi Atzmai. Rabbi Yeshua says that the kinui had to be al pishnayim and the stira had to be al pishnayim as well. So everybody agrees kinui al pishnayim. The machloik is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is regarding stira. According to Rabbi Eliezer, stira could be al pi eidechad or al pi atzmai. According to Rabbi Yeshua, just like the kinui has to be al pishnayim, the stira has to be al pishnayim as well. Zok the Gemara. My time with Rabbi Yeshua. What's pshana Rabbi Yeshua? It's Rabbi Yeshua first. Amakra. He learns his halacha that say the kinui and say the stira have to happen al pi shnei edim, because it says in the Torah ba. So what does it say in the Torah ba? It's the words we were just darshaning, the eid ein ba, and we learn ba v'loy bekinui ba v'loy b'stir. What does the eid ein ba mean? Eid echad is believed. Eid echad is only believed to say tuma once this kinui and once the stira. But as it relates to the eidus of the kinui itself and the eidus of the stira itself, over there you would have to have two edim. So from the word ba, the same pasuk that teaches me that an Eid Echad is believed after Kinei V'Stira teaches me that an Eid Echad is not believed for the actual Kinei V'Stira. The Kinei V'Stira requires two Eidim. That's Rabbi Yeshua's Makar. Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? Ba v'loy b'kinoi. He darshins ba v'loy b'kinoi to teach me that kinoi needs two Eidim. But he doesn't darshin ba v'loy b'stira to teach me that stira needs two Eidim. Faith the Gemara v'im ba v'loy b'stira. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer also darshin ba v'loy b'stira? If Rabbi Yeshua darshin ba v'loy b'kinoi ba v'loy b'stira, and Rabbi Eliezer is already darshini bavalei bekinoi, so why does he not also darshin bavalei b'stira? Says the Gemara, stira isklish l'tomo, because Rabbi Eliezer felt that there's a hekish between stira and toma. Toma is the actual znos. The chsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'nistira v'hinitma. So the pasuk says v'nistira v'hinitma. That's the first pasuk. The eidein ba. So from the hekish between the stira and the toma, we learn that just like Tumma Eid Echad is believed, albeit after Kinei V'Stira, so too for Stira Eid Echad is going to be believed. Faith to Gemara, if that's the reason that Stira Eid Echad is okay because of the Hekesh, Kinei Nami Iskish L'Tumma, you find that Kinei is also Iskish L'Tumma. The pasuk says, V'Kinei is Ishtai, V'Hinitma. It says, V'Kinei is Ish, V'Hinitma. You have the same exact Hekesh. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you, I hear, you have a Hekesh for Kinei as well, about Miyat Rachman Ba, but I have the Miyat of Ba. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you can't just go and use ba to be memait sai kinui stai stira. Because although on the one side of the ledger I have ba, which is memait, I also have a hekish between kinui and stira to toma, which is marba. Meaning ba teaches me eid echad is believed only by toma, not by kinui and stira. But I also have a hekish between kinui and stira and toma. That teaches me that just like toma, eid echad is believed, so to be kinui and stira and eid echad would be believed as well. Now, in the final analysis, what does Rabbi Eliezer do? He uses ba to be memayit kinui, and he uses the hekish to toma to be marba stira. So what's the kasha? The obvious question. Umat ra is, how do you know to use ba to be memayit kinui and use the hekish to be marba stira, efshefakert? Maybe use ba to be memayit stira and the hekish to be marba kinui. So the Gemara says, mistabra stira adifa. It makes sense that stira should be the one that's nisraba to toma, shekein oisrasa ketoma. Because the stira really is what makes her aser. Just like the toma, the znus is ordinarily by a vadei saita. What's going to make her aser? So the stira is what is going to make her aser in the case of the suffix saita. But the Gemara says, other rabbi, I could argue just the opposite. Kinu yadif, maybe kinu yisadif, shekain ikr garim la. Because the kinu is what got this whole thing going. It's true. The stira is the second half of it. It's what closes the fact that she's aser. But at the same time, what started it, the kinu is a stira without kinu is nothing. So if that's the case, as the Gemara, but I understand, but ilav stira kinu miyika, but if you wouldn't have stira, would the kinu be anything? Gemara says, yeah, if you love kinu, stira mayan. And if you didn't have kina, then what would the stira be? I hear, but afilu hachi stira adifa. At the end of the day, stira makes more sense that it should be similar to tumah. Why das chal to the tumah? Because when there's a znos, it usually begins with a yichud, it begins with a stira. The kinui is not das chal of the znos. The stira is das chal of the znos. It's part and parcel of the kederach haminoth and of the znos. And it's for that reason it makes more sense that that should be iskish latoma. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that although it's true you have a miyut of ba, but at the same time you have a riboy of a hekish, so that ba is mamai kinui and the riboy is marbestira. So again, we have machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua as it relates to the dine eidos of kinui vestira. Side Rabbi Eliezer, side Rabbi Yeshua both hold that when it comes to kinui, you have to have two eidim. The machloikis is regarding stir. Rabbi Eliezer says in Eidachon, Rabbi Yeshua says two eidim. What is the makar of the machloikis? Rabbi Yeshua darshans ba v'loi bekinui. He also darshans ba v'loi bestira. Which ba? The eidim ba that teaches me Eidachon sometimes is believed by Saita. But it's only regarding an eid echad of tumma, eid echad for kinoi, not eid echad for stira. Not Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree. I'm moedav mixas. Bavalei bekinoi that eid echad for kinoi would not be believed. Bavalei bekinoi, but as it relates to stira, what should I do? I have a hekish. It says v'nistra v'hinetma. I can't machavek the hekish, and it's because of that hekish we learned that just like stira, you find eid echad is believed. So too, as it relates to kinoi, an eid echad would be believed as well. So we're going to stop here, but just to end with one ha'ara, and that is, so one of the chedushim that you find in the parasha of Saita, something that features very prominently in the Gemaras and certainly in the Machshava, and that is part and parcel of the Tiras HaMetzorah was that the Kohen would take a cloth that had a parasha of the Torah written in it, including that parasha were obviously Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would take this special magical potion and they would pour it on top of this cloth and they would be Moichik the Shem Hashem. Now the reason this is such a chiddush is because Mechikas Hashem is one of the worst averus that a person can do. Imagine going to a Sefer Torah and being Moichik, one of the Shemus HaKadosh. It's unfathomable. But this is something that was done. Torah said that this is what you're supposed to do. It's not questionable whether you do or don't do it. But in the Olam HaMachshava, it's a very, very big chiddush that we would do this. Chazal say that this was coming to teach us the importance of shalom. Because we're dealing with a shalom bayis situation between a husband and a wife. And this is hopefully going to resolve the fact that we know that this woman was not mezana, and as a result, she can go back home and live together with her husband. Gadol HaShalom, say Chazal, that shalom is so important, sheshmish nichtav biktusha, that the shem HaKodesh, which is something that ordinarily you would never be able to touch, yimacha. It's because of what's at stake over here. And that is shalom, that shmish and nichta b'ktusha, that we're willing to forego something as chomer, as mechikas Hashem. What's pashav shat? Why is it that shalom is so important that we're willing to overlook mechikas Hashem? I think the pashav shat is based on a Lashon HaRambam in the end of Hilchas Chanukah. So this is not Dover Be'itah, but this is the last Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah. The Rambam is discussing well-known halachas. We're dealing with an Aram man. He has very little money, and he has to literally make decisions. Should I take the money and use it for Chanukah Lecht? Maybe I should use it for Ner Besoy to be able to light candles Friday night. Maybe I should use it to buy wine for Kiddush. Maybe for a Suda. So says the Rambam, in the course of these halachas, how you the fun of Ner Besoy and Ner Chanukah? If a person had enough money for Ner Besoy to light up his house, or more specifically for Shabbos, or for Ner Chanukah, oy Ner Beisay v'Kiddush Hayoy, or he had enough in Ner Beisay or to make Kiddush Ner Beisay Koydem. He should use it for lighting candles Friday night. Why? Mishum Shalom Beisay. Because if you have light in your house on Shabbos, there'll be shalom in your house. And if you're living in Choshech, there might not be. And why? How do you know that shalom bayis is more important than making Kiddush? How do you know shalom bayis is more important than Chanukah? Sarei Hashem nimchak lasei shalom inish lishtoi. Says the Rambam, I know from the parsha of Soita, because you find that the shame of Hashem was nimchak lasei shalom inish lishtoi. And then the Rambam concludes, gadol hashalom, shekol ha-toyre nitno lasei shalom ba'olam. Because the whole Torah was given to bring shalom in the world. Shenemar derachei darchi noyam, Those are the last words of the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah. The Rambam, I think, is explaining his halacha. Why am I saying with such confidence that Shalom is more? Why is it that the Shem HaKodesh is Nimchak Lasei Shalom? It's because the tachas of the Bria, if you could understand it on that level, the tachas of the Torah was Lasei Shalom Ba'olam. So it's Poshit that Shalom overrides everything. It even overrides Mechikas Hashem. I think that's the posh of Shah. But I'll tell you a Dover Nifla that I saw in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi from the Kozhik Lavagoy in Hashem Yom Kom Domoy. He brings from the Maral in the Sefer Nesivas Oilam, who said a Dover Noira. He said, we know the Gemara says Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. So said the Maral that the reason it was okay to do Mechikas Hashem, Lasoi Shalom, because although when you do Mechikas Hashem, essentially what you're doing is you're erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, you're doing it Lasoi Shalom. And because you're doing it Lasoi Shalom, you're immediately being Mesakin what it is you are Mekalkel. Because what's the Oimik in Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom? What, if you're going to call Hashem by His name, if you say Shalom, you should know you're referring to Him accurately? That's not the Oimik. The oimik is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashvish chinasai b'shalom. That in shalom is shchina. So you're right, mechikas Hashem is a terrible thing because you're removing HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel from the world. That is the inyan of mechikas Hashem, whatever that means. But you're replacing it immediately. You're being mesakin masha kilkul teke fumiyad by bringing shalom ba'olam. And as a result, there really is no kilkul. And being that you're doing it machma shalom, so there's no kilkul, if there's no kilkul, that's the yisayit of God al-Hashalom. Sheshmi shenichta b'kdusha yimachik al-Hashem. Says the Eretz Tzvi, said the Kozhik Lava, that with this, you can answer something that always bothered me. He said, it's not a kasha, but it bothered me anyways. And that is, so the Saita comes now to the Makom HaMikdash, and we're going to do what we need to do. Why? Because we want to bring Shalom. And one of the things we do is Mechikas Hashem. Aye, Mechikas Hashem is such a problem. Oh, because God Allah Shalom. The Ramadan, the Filchas Chanukah, all the Musar Shmuzen. That's all good, said the Kozhik Lava, if she ends up being Tahar. What happens if she ends up being Tameh? What happens if it's Vitzafsa's Bitna? It's not going to be Shalom. And by the way, we just learned the Gemara. The Gemara says it's a raglayim ledavar, that's probably going to happen. That's why, that's the time of the crow. We needed a pasuk, but that's the time of the crow. Why? And an echad is believed to say Tumah once this kid of Estira. So said the Kozhik Lava, so this always, so again, it's not a kasha. Why is it not a kasha? Because we're playing the odds and we're hoping. And fakert, Shalom is so important that on a tzad that maybe we'll bring Shalom. But he said, it always bothered me, this kasha. Oh, but this Maral, he says, a mafteach, it's a pesach to understanding what's happening. Says the Kozhik Lava, that if you look at the Ramban in his Pirush al HaTorah, the Ramban says that if you think about the parasha of Soito, it's one big miracle, right? It's not al piderech hateva. If you think about it, it's a plea. This woman, based on this mayim ha-ma'arim, is going to be determined whether she's innocent or she's guilty. The Ramban's lashon, v'hine, ein b'chol mishpatei ha-Torah, dover toli b'nes, zulasi ha-inyan hazeh. He said, this is the only halach in the whole Torah that is somehow predicated on miracle. Shehu pele, v'nes kavua, she'yasa b'yisrael, b'yoysam ruben, oysam resayin shalmokim. That it's a nes, it's a pele, when the Yidin are oysam resayin shalmokim. And he goes on to explain why Dafkin, this parashat, they should decide that this is where he's going to show us. And after his whole arichas, he concludes with one line, v'haklal, shehu nes v'kovid gadol b'yisrael. So said the Kozhik Lava that David doesn't perform miracles. We live in a world that has to upon him. By tzaddikim there were miracles, but you wake up in the morning, you're not necessarily, unless you know how to look. But nisim shalaykid erech hateva, they're very hard to find. In the parasha of Soita, there were nisim shalaykid erech hateva, which means that if somebody witnessed the Soita, not the innocent Soita, but he witnessed the guilty Soita, you know what he saw? He saw if it's off says bitna. But at the same time, he saw a nes, he saw a pella, he saw something he would never forget, and in an ironic way, he got a chizik and a muna in an unbelievable way. So the Kozhik Lava says, he says that what's the whole inyan? What's the whole inyan of Mechikas Hashem? Again, the Maral, because we don't want to remove HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vimkein, I'll read to you inside, it's more geshmak. Al yidei ashka samayim. Through the drinking of the water, yizbarav yizkalo le'en kol. Ki godol adeinein of Rav Kayach. ונסברו מזה אמונס מציאס השם והשכחוסוי ויכולתוי ותוירו מן השמיים. ונמצא דבזה גם כן הויקסיבס השם שכויסב שם השם על ליבויס בני ישראל וחויקי גזיכרו יספורך על נפשון. Through the soita, the guilty soita. You know what happened? A tremendous chizik in amuno. Listen to this line. Ve'imchoshuv ksivas Hashem. He says, if the Shem Hashem has a chshivus, when you write it on a klaf, which is a doime, kal v'choymer ben kal v'choymer, she'nechshav ksivas ma'ash chayrus Hashem, HaKadosh, aluach libon shel b'nei Yisrael. Could you imagine the chshivus and the kedusha that the Shem Hashem has when it's written on the neshama of the yid? So it says that, Eretz Tzvi, said the Kasha Glover, that the Maral was megalah to us, an understanding of why Mipnei HaShalom were willing to be Moichik Hashem. It's because we're not really being Moichik Hashem. Meaning, we're being Moichik it here, but we're being Koisif it over there. We're replacing it immediately. Because the same Mechik Hashem that's happening is being replaced by the Shalom. Because in Shalom, there's Ashoyis HaShchina. If that's the Oimek and why it's okay to be Moichik Hashem Hashem, then it is equally as prevalent and relevant in the event that she's guilty. Because although it's true if she's guilty, maybe there won't be Shalom. But at the same time, Amuna there's going to be. And Ksiva Hashem there's going to be. And he says not just Ksiva on an ois and on a klaf that's a doimim. But Faker, this is the Shem Hashem that's Chokuk and Alibam Shel B'nei Yisrael, which if the Shem Hashem has Kedusha when it's on a klaf, Kal V'chomer Ben Kal V'chomer, the level of Kedusha it's going to have when it's written on the Yid. But Al Koponim, the Parsha of Soita is a Parsha of Shalom, the Parsha of Soita is a Parsha of Amuna, and that's the Oimik on why we're willing to do Mechikas Hashem for Shalom, why we're willing to do Mechikas Hashem for Amuna. Because Mechikas Hashem is the Taich that on some level you're losing some of Elikus in the world. In the Parsha of Soita, either way, whether she's innocent or whether she's guilty, regardless, it's immediately going to be replaced. If she's innocent, it's being replaced with Shalom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashrash Chinasei by Shalom. And if she's guilty, then it's going to be replaced with Amuna, with the Nes and the Pella that the Ramban talks about in Parashas Nasei. But regardless, there's never Mechikas Hashem. Because there's never Mechikas Hashem, it's for that reason, one of the Inyanim of the Saita was the Inyan of Mechikas Hashem.